Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Faith Focused Spanish Blog Show with your host, Faith Lane.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Money and Mindset Podcast. I am Sharika Alford.
I'm Patricia Bray Smith.
And we are here to provide you with motivation to get out of debt, build wealth, and transform your outlook towards life. Today, I am so excited. We have a special guest joining us. Last week, we discussed different ways to improve your financial health. And one of the ways was to confirm that you have the appropriate insurance. And we touched on it very high level, but today I'm honored to have CEO and sales manager Faith Lane with the Lane Financial Group here to go a little bit deeper with regards to insurance. So let me introduce to our guest, Ms. Faith Lane.
Hello, everyone. I appreciate you guys having me on the show. I'm very honored that you guys asked me to come on the show.
Well, I tell you what, it is good to have you, and it's good to have you and your expertise that you come to share with us today. You know, insurance is something that we may have, we may not, we're really uncertain sometimes, so we're grateful to have you here with us to give us some clarity on what appropriate insurance looks like. But first and foremost, tell us a little bit about your financial group, the Lane Financial Group. Tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
Okay. Well, first of all, I've been in the business for about 7 years now, working on a second agency. I actually came into the business when a friend asked me, was I open to extra income? And I was like, sure. And I just jumped in, didn't know what I was jumping in. But once they sat down and educated me about simple things like the rule of 72 and how, you know, I could save and accumulate money, I thought about my situation and I said, you know what, I need to put a plan together for me. I was 46 years old and I looked at how much money I had set aside in my bank account and how much money I had set aside for retirement. And I said, I'm in critical condition. I'll call it critical condition, ICU.
Right.
And so I'm one of those type of people, I'm open to learn. And so I went and learned the information. And now my goal is to educate as many people as possible to help them get on track for whatever their financial goals is, whether it's through life insurance or through investments and things like that. So that's a little bit about me. And I actually have licenses of 14 different states, agents in different states. So I'm just really super excited about educating as many people as possible and helping other people educate other people.
Right. Well, we appreciate it. We appreciate it. So in your, I guess, area in which we lack when it comes to insurance, just, you know, from the day.
Well, one of the main things is education. A lot of times people think we finish with high school, college, or whatever our education is, but we don't look at other things to be educated in. And so if your family was not educated on insurance or things like investments and retirement planning and college planning, how are you going to learn? And so you have to be open to let someone else educate you. And so I see that a lot of, especially in our community, a lot of people are lacking with learning how to save the money and where to save it at.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest problem is the educational part, being open to learning.
I'm just going to jump in here because I know somebody's listening. They saw Grandma and them with their burial plan and with their maybe life insurance plan where they'll go and borrow against the policy and stuff like that. So many of them, you know, in the next several generations, you know, we kind of opted out of the importance, understanding the importance of what it is for life insurance. And so we see so many people spending more time and money planning to die than they plan to live. So how do we begin to have the conversation, understand the importance of not only understanding the various types of insurances, but what they need primarily for each family?
Right. So one of the things is I always start off, depending on the person that I'm talking to, I always say to them, did you know that the Rockefeller family lived off of they created their wealth through a life insurance policy? Master P created his wealth through a life insurance, for his mom, I should say, through a life insurance policy. And so I usually sometimes start off with that because I want people to get the visual that we know people in our time that's living off of life insurance policy, but we just have to be willing to have the visual in our mind to believe that we could do the same thing and leave financial wealth for our family. It's not all about how much money I have in my bank account, because you know, you can have a $400,000 or $500,000 life insurance policy and still be able to show your family that you can leave them a financial, you need to leave them financial wealth also. So I always start off with conversations like that with people to help them understand that you can do the same thing too. You just have to be open to learn it.
Exactly. Doesn't start. What's the starting point? Would they call you at the Faith Lane Financial Group?
yes, they could call me at the Lane Financial Group. Normally what I typically do, you know, a lot of people ask me what I do, and I tell them I show people how to save money, how to accumulate money, and how to make money. And so I'll ask them which one sounds interesting to them. And most of the time they say all three, you know. And so depending on what they say, I'll start that conversation off with how we can save money, how we can leave financial wealth. And if you want to learn how to make some, we can show you how to do that. And so that's normally what I typically start my conversations off with. As far as reaching out to me, I educate people how, you know, if they don't own a house, how to get enough coverage to cover their income. And normally we typically show them 8 to 10 times the amount of their income, so that way they can, if they still have a family or a wife or a husband, they can still leave financial wealth that way if they don't own a home. But if they do own a home, we could also show them how to make sure their house is covered, that in the event that something happened to them, the house can get paid off.
Now, is this under the form of a type of life insurance policy, or what?
Yeah.
What specifically is that?
So with our agency, we do whole life and we do term. We do IULs.
Okay,
IULs,
hold on. Let's back up. So what's to give us a brief explanation or compare and contrast between the two?
Okay.
Versus term and whole life.
Yes, ma'am. A term policy, it usually is a term, which means it might go from 10 years to 30 years. And that is just pure term insurance, no investment. A whole life policy, it covers you for your whole life as long as you pay the bill. It has investments and it has insurance. Typically, let me go back, I'm sorry. Typically with a term insurance, you get more coverage for less price. With a whole life, you get, it costs more, but you get less, but it has investments in the policy. Now we have IUL, which is an index universal life policy, which I would recommend people, if they want to put a plan together outside of their job for extra money for retirement, that one has insurance and investments in it, but the investments, it goes according to the S&P 500, the stock market. So if the stock market make money, your investments in the policy make money. Now, if the stock market don't make money, your money just stay leveled at that into the stock. So you don't lose money in it. You just gain money in it, if that makes sense.
I see.
But I do want to say to you, inside of our policies, we don't have the typical life insurance policy that most people are used to, where you have to actually die in order to use the policy. We actually have a free rider inside of most of our policies. It's called a living benefit.
Oh, will you explain a little bit more about that?
Okay. A living benefit basically means that you can use your life insurance policy while you're still alive, which means if you have a terminal, a critical or chronic illness, such as heart attack, stroke, maybe cancer, go blind from diabetes, renal failure. If the doctors say that you cannot perform two of the six daily living skills, you can actually have access to cash from the policy that's tax-free to use that to pay your bills, or some people use it to pay the house off.
Okay.
So, yes.
So, a lot of times whenever, you know, things like insurance comes up or a lot of things comes up, first thing you hear is, well, I don't have enough money each month to afford. I can't afford it. I can't pay for that. What are kind of like, what's the price range? I know everything depends upon the exact coverage and different things as far as age and sex, but it's, and it, generally, what's the amount for premiums of, say, a term policy versus a whole policy? Because I noticed you said the term policy is less expensive than the whole policy. Kind of what's the price ranges there?
So it's typically hard to go to price for a whole life, but I'm going to say for a say for instance, a 30-year-old female that do not smoke, that's healthy, that don't take medications, I could actually show her $50 worth of insurance. I mean, $1 million of coverage for $50.
Oh, okay.
So, like, that's probably like a healthy 30-year-old that has no issues.
That's the difference in between getting our hair and nails done for the week and setting up a plan for our family for the month. So, very insightful. And I just wanted to interject here just for a moment, because something came up where we were talking about maybe that household not having enough money and things like that. Hey, we have to begin to think that we have to play the preventive and the defensive side of life. If we can't afford to really educate ourselves and to look into some type of plan for our family, then we have to look at the flip side of that. Can we afford to bury them in the event that something happens? Can we afford to leave if we get sick and can no longer go to work for a month or two, or have an extended unexpected disability? What happens to our family? So we have to think about it from that side of things, because we know that we're outside of COVID and the things like that are happening. We have unexpected accidents that can happen. You know, we have people who are on substance or addictions, and maybe we run into an accident down the road that we were not planning for, and maybe we survive it. What does that look like for the family? So this is why we really need to look at not only life insurance and what that looks like, but the living benefits, in which, Ms. Lane, you were talking about the living benefits. What does that look like for a family? You know, making that sacrifice and thinking about where they can pull that little extra money from to make sure our families are protected.
Okay. Well, I want to share two stories with you. They're going to be really quick. The first one was back in 2008. I unexpectedly got into a car accident where a tow truck ran into the back of me and tore my neck and back up, and I had to learn how to walk and talk to eat all over again. I was not expecting that event, didn't know anything about the living benefits insurance plans. I don't even think they had them at that time. But had I had a plan and knew about the plan, I wouldn't have lost my own home. So I lost a home because of that. It's very important for people to try to find something. Like, even if it's $25 or $30 or $40, $50, And then the second thing I want to share, too, is that I used to say the same thing. I don't have enough money to do this and that. But and I actually can do a financial needs analysis. I'll explain that to you, too. When they did a financial needs analysis with me, they showed me where I overspent $10,000 in 3 years on two bills. On two bills. Yes. And so, of course, I'm not going to lie, I literally cried. I was 46 years old, I cried because I was like, what? And once they helped me shift my financial plans together so that it can work harder, the money can work harder for me and not me work so hard for my money, I was able to see where I can now. I have two policies myself, and I don't even have kids. But I want to make sure that my great nieces and nephews have something set aside, plus make sure I get married. And so it's just about being wanting to be educated. And then once somebody give you that plan, you have to believe in your plan. Because I have put plans for people and they still don't feel like they can see it because they want the money to accelerate right there in front of their face within the next week or two. It takes time for that money to grow. So once they put that plan together for me, that's why I'm very passionate about what I do, because I know I see it working for me. And so that's why I'm very passionate about when I talk with people. And so one of the things I tell them, if you feel like, you know, the financial plan that we put together for you is not working for you, let's go back in there and shift it and see what's going on, that how we can make it work for you so that you can still have coverage for you and your family. And so a lot of times, you know, a lot of people, they might have insurance at their job, but I don't want to talk about the insurance at your job, because just like 4 million people just out of work, when you lose your job, get fired, laid off, or quit, you don't have insurance. Your kids don't have insurance. Kids, they say that you should have insurance from the 14th day after you step on this earth. You should have insurance from day 14 to the day you die. So a lot of times I'll ask people, when do you think is the best time to get insurance, life insurance? And they'll tell me when I get a job. No, you should have it when you first born, because babies out here passing away. 20-year-olds passing away. So it's just about being educated, wanting to be educated, and then believing in the products so that we could help you help your family.
Yes, get the education on it and then be intentional and put something into action. Because just thinking on it, just having the information, it is not going to make the changes that we need for our family, guys. So we really get up there and talk to somebody. It doesn't cost us anything to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And it may be several weeks. It may be several months before you're actually able to implement that plan into action. But at least you set a goal and begin to work toward that, especially with the days and times in which we're living in now. You know, we can't take anything for granted. We can't afford to live, and we sure can't afford to die. So, I mean, you know, where are we going to find that happy medium in between? You know, I would rather take the steps today to plan toward a better future, a future to where I have some kind of coverage, some kind of cushion or support there, than just go through it blindly the way so many of us have done for years. And hey, if you're still living and breathing, you're listening to this podcast, it's not too late to start something somewhere.
Right. Now, one of the things I do also do, ladies, because we really do have some people that really cannot afford it. And so I will offer to come and work with us, even if they work 5 or 6 hours a month, to earn some extra money. And I'll show them, hey, even if you come in and make $500 to $1,000 with us part-time, now you have $100 that you can use of that money to make sure you and your kids and your husband have insurance.
Awesome.
One of the things with us, and this happened so much where, you know, they say the husband usually make more money than the wife. But women live longer than men. And what's happening is these men are passing away, and they don't have anything for their wife or their children. They say 85% of widows between the ages of 50, up to age 50, they start losing their home, car, everything. They have to move it with somebody else within 8 to 10 months. And most of the time when we sit down and talk to these families, it's the men that don't want coverage and the women that want it. So we, and a lot of times, some of the women make the decision not to get it because the men told them not to do it. And so the thing is, we have, you have to be able to want to win for your family and help yourself, help your children. And, you know, it's not my job to make a decision for a household like that. But personally, myself, if it was me in that person's shoes, if my husband don't want to get the insurance, don't get it. But I'm going to get it for me and my children because
don't
I want to make sure
they don't need.
Please don't get started.
Don't get me started. That's all I'm going to do. Because you done opened up a whole new can of worms when you go and talk about these families and these households and girl. So I don't know what I'm going to say because you just shift my mindset really quick. But you, but what you're saying is so true. And I don't know if it's just the way our men have been conditioned, men that are family men. You know, I don't know if it's the way that they've been quick and spend it on a car or go spend it on a one big
video
man
game
or something like that. You know, that's quick. Women, if you are in a household like that, you know, you really have to be wise in how you approach that issue of insurance. And I'm just one of those type of women to where I'm going to bring it to the table, but I'm going to make you think that it was your idea and we're going to do this. So you really just have to be wise in your approach. So don't get frustrated with the women. Babe, you said something a while ago when you were talking about some people really can't afford it. And women, you have a stove. You have skills. You have talent. You have gifts that can make money for you. So if it takes sacrificing a little bit of your time to make a little extra, even if you couldn't take Faith up on of working with them, you know, maybe you're scrapped for time, but maybe you're at home watching the kids all day. Maybe you're having to cook and clean. Well, let me tell you what, if you're one of those women to where you can cook, hey, you got some extra money right there. I know several people now. They don't want to eat out. They don't want to eat out. And when you're fixing your meal and you're cooking that meal, you could probably sell $5-$10 plates to the people down the street in your neighborhood or something like that to make extra money as well. So just have to get creative with that. Get creative. Maybe even with your spouse. Maybe he's the breadwinner. Maybe she's the breadwinner and you don't have the extra cash. Maybe they control the money, because I know there's households like that where the husband or the wife makes the money and one or the other controls it all. You can sacrifice something. Find something you can sacrifice, whether it's eating out for that week, whether it's the entertainment for that week, whether it's the convenience store stops that you make during that week. Pull that money from somewhere. Pull it from somewhere. Get creative. What can you do? Hey, it's the holidays. Go bake several cakes and sell it. You know how many people that are having holiday dinners and can't cook? You know, they would love to. I'm just saying, you know, they would love to buy a cake or buy some baked goods or something. You know how many people can't make dressing and they want dressing, chitterlings, all that good stuff that people like to eat and they cannot cook. And you specialize in that, honey, you got $1 million business sitting in your lap right there to pay for your insurance and do what you need to do. So I just thought I'd drop it in to stimulate some of our minds to know that we don't have any excuses, no matter what it looks like. I don't care who's controlling the pocketbook. I don't care how much income we have coming in our house. We can find the resources to get what we need to set our family in the right direction.
Yes, yes. Now, Faith, you mentioned that when you first started out with someone doing a financial needs analysis for you. Is that something that you can provide to our listeners as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and how can they reach you?
They can reach me at 240-640-5492. I actually have licenses in 14 different states. And then I also have agents in different states. So even if I'm not able to help you, I could find an agent to help you, depending on what state you're in.
All right, that's awesome. And if you're just now listening in to the Money and Mindset podcast, we are having a discussion with Faith Lane, the CEO and Wealth Manager from the Lane Financial Group. And she is just dropping all the jewels to us as far as needing to educate ourselves on insurance and also how to grow our money, how to grow wealth. Now,
Yes, ma'am. You
made a statement when you were talking about it was earlier on when you were talking about when you first started them explaining the rule of 72 to you. Would you explain to our audience what exactly is the rule of 72?
I'm glad you asked me that question. The rule of 72 is a rule that Albert Einstein made up. We all know he was one of the smartest men on the earth, right? And basically the rule says if you take the number 72 and you put it against the multiply it against the interest rate that you're saving your money, and it's how many years it takes your money to double. Now, typically, people put their money in the bank or their credit. And if we put our money in the bank, it's at a 0.01%. If we put it in the credit union, it's most likely at a 1%. And so basically what happens is when you put your money in a bank, say for instance you had $2,000, I'm just using that for example, it takes 240 years for your money to double in the bank. But if you put it in the credit union, it takes 72 years. Now how many 72 years do we have? Most people don't even have 72 years.
Good to get the one.
Right. So what happens is when we put our money in the bank, The bank takes money and they invest it in a 10 or 12% interest rate and they're making millions of dollars off your $2,000 and they only give you a couple of cents off your money. So, for example, I had a young lady, she had $40,000 that she received from a settlement. She put it in a savings account for her son. And 6 years later, it only had maybe $500 extra in the account. But a lot of people say, well, I don't want to put my money in investments. I don't want to take the risk. Well, the risk is in the bank. The risk is in the bank. And so my thing is, would you want your money to stay in the bank? Or would you want to put it somewhere so it can start working harder for you than you working hard for the money? And so a couple of things, we do annuity investments and we also do the IULs that I was explaining to you, where you can put some money in there, add some money in that, you know, tax-free. One of the things is I wish that my mother and my father knew about this rule of 72. Do you know if my mom, say, for instance, my dad, because my dad actually was an inventor, so if my dad would have put $25 away each month for me until I was old enough to put my own $25 away from the time I was born, so right now, and I'm 52 years old. Do you know I would have a little over $8 million saved up and accumulated? But that's because he was not financially educated. If he was financially educated, you guys probably wouldn't have met me because right now I probably would be on the beach sipping on cocktails.
Right.
But because they were not educated. And a lot of people say, well, why they didn't teach us, you know, why they didn't teach us this? If your teachers don't know, how they going to know? How they going to teach you what they don't know?
Exactly.
So even the educators don't know. So that's why I love about what I do. And it's so weird because when I was a little kid, I used to always look at a lot of movies with Wall Street. And I never understood that, but I never worked in any businesses that had anything to do with money. But when somebody introduced me to this, I was like, oh, my God, it must have been in me deep down to want to educate people about money, get myself educated first. And educate people along the way. And what I like about what I do, while you're getting educated, as you're learning, you're going to be giving people information. So you're learning, teaching, and then sometimes earning with us. That's what I love about what we do.
Awesome.
And one more thing before I forget. When I talked about, you know, people come earn money, you actually earn $500 in 1 hour working with us. That's why I said if people come in and work maybe 5 or 6 hours a week, you can earn some decent money, but you have to want to believe in the product, want to get educated, and want to get the license because you can't get paid without the license. Mm-hmm. And so that's another way how we teach people how to take the money that they make and put it in some type of investment to work harder for them. Because I know, me personally, I worked 30 years for somebody before, and I wasn't able to put this amount of money away. So now I can actually accelerate myself past where I was, what I was doing before, running my business, versus me working at my job that I was working at 40 to 60 hours a week. It still was broke. I still wasn't able, you know what I'm saying, to pay bills and still buy me food.
Absolutely.
Just about being the kind of person with an open mind, an open heart, and know that some of the stuff we was taught were lies, and it's not our fault. I mean, we've learned from people that just didn't know. And so, you know, I started surrounding myself around other people that was winning, millionaires, even people that are six-figure income earners. I've never been around people that are six-figure income earners in my entire life. But once you start changing your environment and changing your mindset and changing what you're saying and thinking, and it's hard. I'm not going to lie. I had to do a lot of personal development because I had 46 years of junk in my head at the time. So, but you, again, it's about the mindset. You got to be open-minded to learn the information. Be open-minded to find a plan. I mean, if we find this extra money to put insurance on our cell phone and buy Jordans, and I'm not knocking people for smoking cigarettes and drinking, but if we can find money for that, why we can't find money to put some money in place, even if we put $25 away for our kids,
yeah.
Put $25 away for ourselves, starting something is better than having nothing.
Right. It's all about priorities. We got to get priorities in order.
Yes, ma'am.
I tell you what, I started late, but I had to start somewhere, and so it's nothing like getting in the game and starting. And as we're wrapping up today's podcast, talking about insurance, what's adequate insurance for our family, we hope that you leave your questions, your comments, give us some feedback on this topic today, so that if we're leaving you with any questions, that we can address it later, you know, so that we can bring information, up-to-date, real-time information that impacts your life and helps you get on track with where you want to be and the legacy you're trying to set for your family. So before we wrap it up today, Faith Lane, tell us again how someone listening to this podcast today can reach out to you when they're ready to make that step to inquire and get educated about insurance.
Okay. Well, you can reach me by my telephone number. My direct line is 240-640-5492. You can actually email me, and that's at flane.financial@yahoo.com. And you can also visit one of my company websites, and that is yequis.com/Faith Lane.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I'm sure some of you guys are ready to make that step. Hey, the conversation doesn't cost you anything. Let's reach out. Let's get educated. Yes, let's get out. Let's get educated. And even if you're already covered, maybe you have that friend, that sister, that woman in that community with young children that are trying to make it, you know. Help share this information. Share this podcast. Share with someone you love. Let's help share not only our monies, but our mindsets as well. Until next time, I'm Antricia Bray Smith.
And I am Sharika Alford. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to subscribe and leave a review.
Thank you.